Stage Dramas present The Man Who Came Back. This week's front page drama, The Man Who Came Back, is a dramatization based upon one of a series of very unusual incidents to be found in a feature article entitled Shocks That Cure When Doctors Can't. This very interesting article is to be found in next Sunday's issue of The American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you each week as part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Amnesia, or loss of memory, is a curious mental disturbance that is sometimes caused by a blow or nervous shock, and then, with equal suddenness and mysteriousness, cured by another blow or shock, perhaps months or even years later. Merlin McBride was the unfortunate victim of such a nervous shock, and it is his unusual story we are going to tell to you in this dramatization of The Man Who Came Back. Our story opens on a Sunday evening in the early fall of 1921. There's a little gathering of friends at the home of Marion Kyle, who is in love with Merlin McBride.
hey, hold on a minute.
Where's Merlin, Marion?
I probably just missed and gone out to look at the moon.
Well, that's bad. Besides, it's bad manners for the hostess to sneak out and leave her guests. Come on, let's go out and break up that moon jersey.
All right, come on. Hey, Dad, come on this way. Yeah. Ah,
there they are. Come on, you two, break it up. What's the big idea running out on us like this?
Oh, we didn't run out on you. We just came out.
So look at the moon.
Yeah. We know. Shall we tell them, Marion?
Oh, they're holding something out on us.
Yeah.
Oh, pet up.
Oh, we might as well tell them, Merle.
Sure, if you don't, we'll find it out anyway.
Okay, here it is. We'll let you in on a secret. Marion and I have decided to announce our engagement.
Wow!
Thank you.
The firm has just given me a new territory, an increase in salary, and a chance to get bigger commission.
So we decided
we could gamble on a pretty good future.
Oh, congratulations.
And seeing that Merle was leaving tonight and would be gone for 2 weeks looking over his new territory, we decided to announce the engagement before 11.
Oh, that's well. Glad you two got such a swell break. You deserve it.
Thanks.
Well, fellas, it's getting late, and I got to drive to Dayton tonight, so I'd better be going.
Say, why all the hurry? Why do you have to go tonight just when we want to celebrate?
Well, our sales managers meet me in Dayton at 9 in the morning. So I figured I'd drive over tonight, get a good night's sleep, and be there fresh and bright to begin work.
Oh, that's a good idea, fella. You've got to make good now. You've got an added responsibility.
Well, come on in, everybody. I take some sandwiches, and we have ice cream and Mother's homemade chocolate cake to celebrate.
All right. Thank you. So long, Merle. Have a good trip.
Yeah.
Lots of luck in your new dog.
Good night, Merle. See you at the party in 2 weeks. Take it easy with that car driving around.
Bye.
Bye. Goodbye, Merle. See you in 2 weeks. And remember, traveling men steer clear of the farmer's daughters.
Oh, nice.
Best of luck and so on.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. Thanks for all the good advice. I'll be seeing you all in 2 weeks.
You bet.
Goodbye, Marion. I'll write you as soon as I get them tonight. I'll try and make it a letter a day.
Goodbye, dear. Take good care of yourself. I'll write often, too. Goodbye, dear.
Bye. Bye, fellas. Bye. Take care of yourself.
I'll be across and halfway home before he's anywhere near us.
Now, that's the darndest thing. I found the two kids that were in the roadster. They can't find the guy that was driving the sedan that turned over and burned up.
Well, my place is only a couple of hundred yards up the road. Heard the cars come in. One of them was racing along, too. And I heard the brakes screech and the crash. And I come running down. I seen the sedan burning, and I made for it first. Door was open, but I didn't see a sign of anyone.
Well, he wasn't in the car, and we searched all around here.
Yeah.
You say you didn't pass him on the road, and there's been no other cars passed to pick him up, so where is he?
Yeah, I may have been dazed by the wreck. Wandered off somewhere. We'll look around, see if we can find him. Come along, Henry.
All right, come on, Max.
Hey, let's cover this field. He may have been hurt and crawled away. We've got to find him to stay on this field.
Yeah.
As you may have surmised, the missing driver of the burnt sedan was Merlin McBride. A complete and thorough search of the adjacent fields and roads failed to reveal any trace of the missing man. Then, a year later, in a small town far removed from the scene of the accident...
But, Helen, however did he come here? What do you know about him?
Father and I were driving back from a trip to Cincinnati. It was beginning to rain, and we passed him on the highway. He was neatly dressed and looked perfectly all right, so I asked Dad to stop and offer him a lift.
And he rode all the way home with you?
Yes. He apparently was looking for work, and on the way home, he impressed Dad so much that Dad suggested he might get him something to do at the mill.
But what about his not knowing his name?
Well, apparently he's been very ill and just released from a hospital. He complained about having severe headaches when he first came here. So we didn't press him very hard about the details of his illness.
And you say he settled down and made a success of things?
I should say he has. When Tom Ryan left, Dad thought he'd have to send away for a new plant foreman. But one evening when he was here for dinner, he asked Dad if he could try for Ryan's place. He studied hard, and by the time Tom Ryan was ready to leave, he was ready to step in and take over.
Oh, that was wonderful. It sure must have made you feel mighty fine.
I did feel rather responsible for him. After all, it was my insistence that made Dad pick him up that evening on the road. And I did keep after Dad to give him a chance. And although he made good from the start, Dad was still rather suspicious about his past and everything.
He was sure lucky to have you for his sponsor. But from what I hear, your interest is more than purely platonic.
How about that?
Oh, you shouldn't try to hide anything from an old friend who's been away for over a year.
I'll admit I'm awfully fond of him. He was so kind and considerate and well-mannered. And naturally, being sort of thrown together a lot, and we are a little more than a good friend.
Helen, I think it's wonderful.
Well, it hasn't reached a serious stage, you know, engagements and everything, but Dad is still dead set against anything like that. He feels we still don't know enough about Martin.
How did you find out his name?
His initials were embroidered on his shirt sleeve, M.M. I began asking him what they stood for. I guess the first name was Martin, and finally the last name, Moore.
Well, he was certainly impressed everyone in town. People are all crazy about him, especially Mrs. Ellen.
Yes, I really think she's done more for him than anyone. She's been like a mother to him ever since he went to live there, and it's helped old Mrs. Ellis, too. He was awfully lonesome.
Good heavens, it's 5 o'clock. I've got to run. But say, Helen, how about coming over for dinner tonight and bringing your Martin along so that I can get acquainted with him?
All right, I'll ask him and call you.
Bye-bye.
And so Merlin McBride, a victim of amnesia as the result of the auto crash, his past blacked out, his memory gone, has started life anew as Martin Moore. In his new life, he rapidly advanced with the years. He became assistant to the mill superintendent, was loved and respected by his fellow workers, looked up to by the townspeople, and finally became engaged to Helen Brooks. He was captain of the town's baseball team, and one Saturday afternoon...
Come on, let's carry him off. Where's Dr. Wilson?
Dr. Wilson,
take it easy now, boys.
How is he, Doctor? Is he hurt badly?
Steady now, Helen. Nothing real serious. Bad bump that knocked him down and stunned him temporarily, but he's coming out of it.
Oh. What happened? Say, what am I doing here? Where's my car?
Easy now.
I gotta be in Dayton. So what time is it? Daylight. I gotta get to Dayton.
Easy now, Martin. Don't try to sit up yet.
It's all right, Martin, dear.
Martin? Don't you call me Martin. My name is Merlin.
What?
Merlin McBride. Hey, what is all this? Who are you people? Hey, how'd I get in this uniform? Where am I?
All right, now, just lie still a few minutes and you'll be all right, and we'll explain everything. If you just take it easy. Will you do that for us?
All right, Doctor, but it's all so strange.
I know.
I messed up. I can't...
All right, here now.
All right, Doctor. Be quiet.
Yes, that's fine. Helen, come over here. I've got to talk to you. Oh, Miss Ellen, you keep those cold compresses on him. I'll be back in a minute. Margaret.
Tell me, Doctor. What is it? Why does he act like that? What happened to him?
Well, that unfortunate blow on the head was fortunate for him, Helen. It has restored his memory. Ever since you first told me about him, I've suspected he might be a victim of amnesia. Well, this blow proves it. First, he was the victim of a blow or a nervous shock or something that robbed him of his memory. His past was completely forgotten. He started life all over again. Now, today, this blow has had the same effect by restoring his memory.
In an hour or two, Martin Moore was Merlin McBride again. Back came a flood of memories. He got on the telephone while Helen Brooks waited patiently the result of the telephone call.
Now, Helen, I know what it all means to you, but you've got to be brave. Bear up. Remember, you haven't lost him yet.
But I will. If he wants to go back, pick up his past, that girl. She has the right to him. They were engaged.
Well, so are you. Fate has played all of you a mean trick, but sometimes fate can be kind, too.
Well, Martin, or rather, Merlin, what's the answer?
It's all right. Helen, dear, everything is all right.
Oh, Marty, dear.
Well, let's have the news, old boy.
It's been a long time, Doc. People back home have given me up. Marion waited a long time, then married my best friend, Bob.
Ah.
He was always her second choice. And they're both very happy. And they have a boy, named after me, Merlin McBride Robin.
Well, that's all I wanted to know. Well, there's no longer any need for my services. Well, at least for quite a while. So I leave you two together. Out goes old Doc Wilson, and in comes Dr. Cuke. Yes, he's got the best prescription for what ails you now. Well, best of luck, both of you.
Helen and Merle were married that summer, and they spent part of their honeymoon in Merle's hometown, settling the last few minor problems of his past, and then came back to begin life anew with everyone happy. You have just heard The Man Who Came Back, a dramatization based upon one of the many very interesting cases to be found in a feature article entitled Shocks That Cure When Doctors Can't, which is found in next Sunday's issue of The American Weekly. You will find this and many other interesting articles in next Sunday's issue of The American Weekly. Join the millions of Americans who each Sunday find the greatest enjoyment in the many fine articles and feature fiction by the world's best writers in every issue of The American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you each Sunday with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Page Dramas present A Royal Romance. This week's Front Page Drama, A Royal Romance, is a dramatization based upon a true life story entitled Became a Real Cinderella After 22 Years as a Peasant. This most amazing true romance is to be found in next Sunday's issue of The American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you each week as a part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Everyone is familiar with the story of Cinderella, the household drudge who was transformed by her fairy godmother into a glamour girl with riches, beautiful clothes, and a romantic Prince Charming. We are about to enact a modern version of this Cinderella story, but this one is no fairy tale. It is true. In fact, it goes the old version one better by providing the heroine with a title and a fortune of her own, besides the riches and romance furnished by the fairy godmother. Our true Cinderella story is laid in the little provincial town of Kristianstad in far-off Sweden. One spring night last year, in a corner of the spacious garden of the estate of Count Hammonson, the Count's son, Leskar, sat talking very earnestly with a beautiful young